Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Mark Chandler. He writes the Mark to Market blog, as well as the managing partner over at Bannockburn Global Forex. Mark, let's first cover the news that happened over the weekend that discusses the postponement of tariffs on that March 1st deadline, which is making some people believe that, who knows, maybe China and the U.S. are close to getting some deal done. But then there's also a currency deal kind of tied in or on the back of this where Trump continues to blame China for being a currency manipulator, but there seems to be maybe a light at the end of that tunnel. What's your takeaway from the trade talk and currency talks that we heard over the weekend?
Yeah, sure. So it's true. I mean, that we heard about the currency deal right before the markets closed before the weekend. And so we saw a good rally in like Chinese ADRs, for example, that trade in the U.S., anticipating this big rally we had on Monday in Beijing and Shanghai. We saw a little bit, almost all the major indexes in China up over 5% on a combination of the extension of the tariff freeze and the currency deal. And the reason these are important, I think, is that, well, first I'd say that the markets had anticipated this. I mean, you look at the why the stock markets have gone up this year, and the you hear the commentary about the optimism that there was going to be a trade deal. I think what's changed is that initially, say at the end of last year, I thought that China wanted a deal more than the U.S. did. After all, the U.S. tariffs really disrupted an already slowing Chinese economy. But now, after what happened in that fourth quarter, where we saw the stock market in the U.S. really get hit, it got hit so hard that it obviously changed Fed policy, as well as it seems that it's tempered Trump's attitude about trade. And so I think that now, having been scared, I mean, so it's not for me, it's not just that the Federal Reserve was spooked by the slide in stocks, especially in December, but so was the Trump administration. And now it seems that the Trump administration wants a trade deal as bad, if not more so, than the Chinese do. I think the Chinese are happy to get it behind them, but even if they have to stick at the current tariff levels. And so the extension is not a surprise. And the currency, though, you know, I've been one of these people who thought, and I think I've said this before to you, that I thought the dollar was in a 6.7 to a 7.0 trading range against the RMB. And because of the speculation of an agreement where no details have been released, we did shy through that, slip through that 6.7. So the RMB did get a bit stronger on the back of these reports. It's just not clear to me what it really means. I get it that these are U.S. officials negotiating, of course, so they're mostly concerned about the dollar RMB exchange rate. But I don't think that's really too narrow a focus, I think. And it doesn't really tell us the stability, what that really means. Is it a range? You know, right now, the Chinese allow the dollar RMB, the dollar Chinese RMB exchange rate, to move 2% a day from the fixing. It hardly ever does that. Most of the time, it's within 1%. That is a narrower band, that is to say, a more stable band, than the, say, the RMB against the euro or the RMB against the Japanese yen. So I'm not sure what the stability means, but the market thinks that it's bullish for the Chinese currency. And some people think it's a sign that the U.S., the Trump administration, wants a weaker dollar. The Trump administration might want a weaker dollar, but I don't think that if they do, it's really contained in this policy versus the Chinese.
So does that mean, Mark, that all of these trade talks, and especially these currency talks, they're being made a bigger deal than they really are or really will be once it's all settled?
Well, I don't know. You're talking to someone who is in favor of global trade, and I like the direction of the stronger WTO and these things. And so, I don't know. I mean, it's really a question, I think, of whether how much globalization can be unwound through different types of protectionism. But I think that the currency agreements, I think we were tipped off, actually, the NAFTA agreement, I think, sort of foretold this. You know, Canada and Mexico do not typically intervene in the foreign exchange market. Yet in the new NAFTA agreement are clauses that talk about more transparency for intervention, or more transparency of intervention. And I think this is obviously, for me, I thought it was like just a sort of setting the template right, precedent right, to get into the Chinese agreements. And so I do think it represents a broader range of how the U.S. How the U.S. administration is viewing competition. I don't think it's that far different from past administrations. I think that it recognizes that the currency is another area of competition and why they have some greater influence over that to prevent competitive devaluations.
So regarding the U.S. dollar, there's also been a lot of talk that the dollar lacking that recent breakout when it was moving higher is starting to roll over now, and even on the back of these currency talks, do you think that that just further leads to a bit of a dollar pullback?
Well, I am looking for a little bit of a heavier dollar tone here into the end of the month. But in the big picture, I'm still looking for the dollar to stay strong based really on this divergence. You know, we're going to get the confirmation of the Eurozone's flash PMI. And we're going to get this week, we're also going to get the first look at the fourth quarter U.S. GDP. And it's true that the U.S. economy has slowed down, but we're still going to grow most likely in Q4. We have grown somewhere around 2.5%. Which is, well, Europe is struggling to grow more, to sustain growth at more than 1%. And so for me, this divergence will eventually lead to a dollar upside break. But in the short term, I do favor a bit more of a pullback in the dollar. I think a lot of good news is known. I think we should be expecting some buy the rumor, sell the fact on the extension of the trade talks, as well as Brexit, which also may be extended. So I'm looking for turnaround Tuesday, actually, for the dollar to pull back a bit more. And there's actually an interesting pattern with dollar yen. For the last 3 weeks, the dollar has risen Monday through Wednesday against the Japanese yen, only to sell off on Thursday and Friday. And as we enter the month of March, this is the end of the Japanese fiscal year, and a lot of people look for some seasonal pattern. And it's true that the Japanese do seem to repatriate offshore investment. The impact on dollar yen is a bit mixed. In the last 3 years, the yen has gotten stronger. But for the 7 years before that, the yen got weaker.
That's interesting. Okay, so you are seeing some correlations towards what has happened in the prior years. Can we also talk about the U.S. equity markets? Because the U.S. market's continuing to rise, and this rise is coming kind of late in what has been an extended move higher, and a move that's gone higher than most people have thought, pretty much right at resistance right now. What do you think, U.S. markets, more specifically compared to other markets?
Yes, I am a bit nervous about the stock market. You know, I've been pretty bullish. I thought, you know, the pendulum of fear and greed. And I thought at the end of last year, I hadn't seen people this afraid since 08-09 during the great financial crisis. So that sort of excited my contrarian instincts, if you will. But as we got closer to 2,800 in the S&Ps, I'm getting nervous. We gapped higher today, and my guess would be that we're going to close the gap, that it'll be a normal gap. But here's the impressive thing, is that the U.S. S&P 500 is up roughly 12% this year. This is not only is it the best within the G7, within the major indexes, but look at what, you know, a lot of people are bullish on emerging markets, thinking that this Federal Reserve has taken a more dovish bias, ECB more dovish, China's trying to stimulate the economy. A lot of people have been talking about EM. The MSCI Emerging Market Equity Index is up about 9.5% year to date. The U.S. is up 12%. That means that buying emerging market stocks, you're making money, but you're probably not getting compensated for that extra unit of risk you're taking, say, over the S&P. Other markets, I mean, of course, the best one, especially after today, China is the CSI 300, which is their 300 biggest companies, 23%, almost 24% year to date. Europe continues to lag. The DAX is up a little bit more than 9%. The Nikkei over in Japan, up about 7.5%. So you can see the U.S. Why is the dollar relatively strong? I say the dollar is relatively strong, not only because of divergence, but this divergence is bringing capital into the United States and into our equity market. And again, I mean, you've got bond yields that are near Japanese 10-year bond yields, still negative. The German Bund yield, the 10-year Bund yield, now just above 10 basis points. It's holding just above right now a 2-year low. So I think this divergence is still an underlying theme. Explain a little bit more of the stock market as well.
So, Mark, how long can this divergence last? It seems like for a year now we've been talking about how the U.S. markets have been holding up quite nicely. Money has been flowing in from domestic and foreign entities. And the fact of the matter is you don't think, or you shouldn't think, that one market like the U.S. can be able to withstand the pressures that other markets have been feeling now for over a year.
Yeah, so I am nervous with the stock market at these levels. But at the same time, I think that this, I put it more like this, that, you know, for many years, people have, like in Europe and Asia and emerging markets, have complained about the lack of U.S. leadership. And it's not a question of whether one likes Trump's positions or not. But what we're seeing now is a reassertive, a bolder defense of U.S. national interests on a global level. And the markets, investors sort of don't know what to make of this. But I think that whether you look at the sort of growth sector, whether it's technology or fintech, the U.S. is really still on the cutting edge. And if you look at even the health of the banking system, I mean, it's just remarkable. I saw this survey that said that from the Federal Reserve, that had the number of banks that have, say, 1% of non-performing loans, or the amount of non-performing loans U.S. had, say, more than 90 days overdue. Less than 1%. This is the lowest since before the financial crisis. So I don't know. I just sort of see the U.S. Foreign banks withdrawing, U.S. banks advancing. And this is, I think, part of this divergent story, a reassertion of the U.S., not simply the driest towel in the rack, but also being assertive in its own right.
Now, do you think the U.S. is being a leader right now, even though the Fed has gone on pause, mostly because of recent U.S. market weakness? But that was a number of months ago now. And the fact that they are addressing slowdowns and weakness abroad?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure if this is leadership yet. It really depends on how you define everything. But I think that I think the U.S. is, rather than pursuing a global interest, it's pursuing its national interest and claiming global interest around it. Sometimes there's genuine global interests, say, like, I don't know, climate change, the spread of nuclear weapons. There's a lot of issues that I think could be on a global scale, that global leadership, where the U.S. national self-interest and global interest really converges. But I don't know if we're really seeing that now.
Okay. Yeah, some interesting comments there, Mark. I know the argument can be made that the Fed is being a little bit reactive, or almost too reactive right now, but fact of the matter is they're finally starting to address these issues that have been around the world for over a year, as I said. And let's see where it takes us, but that is continuing to support U.S. markets still staying fairly strong and outperforming a lot of other markets in the world. The question mark is just how long can that continue to happen? Mark, good chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time. Everybody, if you want to keep up to date with what Mark is writing, be sure to click that link below and visit his website. It's very much worth your time on a daily basis. Mark, thanks for your time today.
Thank you. Good luck to everybody.